Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. I'm coming to you today with an episode about the question of whether a subscription, a Patreon, or a membership is right for your business. Obviously, I can't really answer that for you, but I've had different kinds of memberships and a Patreon and a subscription model for many, many years. And I'm just returning to one in my own work. And so I wanted to bring this, you know, back into the conversation and maybe help you figure out how you can come to that decision for your own work. I think there are so many beautiful things that can come from really building that kind of community around your work. It can help you feel much more supported and financially sustainable, as well as able to share in like a really committed and continuous way, but it also has its own challenges that I would love to share a little bit with you so that hopefully you can remove some of those stumbling blocks. A few updates for me before I dive in. I'm currently in my web design practice and for tech days booking for late January and February and March. And I still don't have a surgery date, but it's probably going to be early in the new year. So I am not starting the well as an immersive program as I initially had intended, but instead I'm re-energizing and bringing back my Patreon for a project for the next 2 years called Stitching Together, in which I'm going to share research around textile histories and making practices for mental health, as well as offering 3 live sessions per month where we can come together to set intentions for the month on the first Sunday through the Spark sessions. And then the second Wednesday each month, we'll co-craft and hang out for like a little mid-week creative infusion. And then the third Sunday each month, it will be a more social time where we also come together to make. But we also have Q&A time as well as optional show and tell. If you are working on something that you want people to know about, you can share it there. And then each month I'm also going to share some skills. So you'll receive a workbook with some ideas for creative practice and some resources that have really inspired me, like books and podcasts. I'm reading so much and listening to so many podcasts myself that I kind of love the idea of creating something and sharing the things that I like the most. So that is through my Patreon. I'm going to link to that in the show notes. Maybe also as a case study. So if you're interested in maybe having a membership or a Patreon in your own business, check it out anyway, just to see kind of how I explain and communicate this offer and to get a feeling for what yours might look like. And I think sometimes, you know, seeing something or the way someone does something and having like a no, I don't want that, is really good information too, because then you know, you might want to do it differently or you might want to do it in a similar way. All right, so let's dive in. I will first share the benefits I'm seeing in a membership or a Patreon or subscription. And I'm going to use those words interchangeably from now on because otherwise I'm just repeating myself. So yeah, first we're going to talk about the benefits and then about the downsides. Then about key considerations, like really important questions that I think you need to ask yourself. And then I'm going to share at the end kind of my key learnings over the years. All right, so here are the subscription benefits I'm seeing in my own and other people's business. Firstly, it might mean that you have a more regular income. And that really is not to be underestimated, because in the people I've worked with and have supported through the years, lack of regular income is often the most anxiety-inducing part of running a small business. And so that can make it feel really difficult to be creative. It can cause all kinds of stress and self-doubt. And so I know in a way it sometimes feels a little bit icky to talk about money first and to be like, oh, this is really the most important thing. But I just want to acknowledge that, you know, we do live under capitalism, and if you're struggling to pay your bills, it's going to be really hard to enjoy your work in the long term. So for many people, having some kind of subscription model means that there's at least one chunk of money or like one stream of income each month that's fairly reliable, and that can really create a sense of spaciousness, meaning that you can maybe be more experimental and even courageous in other areas of your work. So I, for example, had a Patreon for almost 5 years until I paused in May this year. And that meant that for those 5 years, I always had this like chunk of money that came in every month. And obviously that changed, the amount changed over the years. But it did mean that in my one-on-one work, in my services, for example, or in the live classes I was teaching, I was sometimes a little bit more bold because I knew that that chunk of money at least was always coming in. Another benefit I'm seeing is this frequent sense of connection with people. And I really think that meaningful connection is something that we all crave. And I don't think that that is one-sided. I really got so much out of offering the creative space sessions through the pandemic, for example. They made me feel less alone as well. And it felt meaningful to be able to gather people in that way. And so, yeah, I think especially if you have a sense of maybe not being able to connect with your community in the way that you would like in the social media spaces maybe that you're in right now, having like a more private container where people make a pledge or a commitment or have a subscription is like a beautiful different way to connect and share about your work. I also think there can be the sense of expression and depth, because if you commit to a topic or something you teach or something you facilitate or gather people around over a longer period of time rather than like, let's say, a 6 or 8 week container, then that's really your own opportunity to go really deep into the subject. And you know, there's the saying that if you want to really master something, you have to teach it. And I think there really is so much to that. When I first started my Patreon in 2017, for example, I, for the first 2 years, offered something called Monthly Magic, or the Magic of Embodiment, it was initially called. And that was because I was kind of in a moment of real struggle with my own body, trying to integrate difficult experiences. And I really wanted to explore for myself, like, what does sustainable ritual look like? What does embodiment look like? What can I do for my nervous system in like an easy way day to day? And then I shared that with people. And obviously that was very personal because I was so deep in the process myself. But I found it really meaningful and I had boundaries around it. And it really was something that I absolutely loved doing for those 2 years. And it gave me that depth and the commitment that maybe I wouldn't have had if I'd done it only by myself. So I think sometimes that's a really good starting point if you're not sure about what kind of subscription or Patreon or, you know, whatever you'd actually like to offer. Like, start with yourself and think about what you would really like to go super deep with. And then another benefit I see is this sense of community I already mentioned, but also of feedback, because if you're doing something for a long period of time, you become more intimate with kind of how people respond to your approach, how it lands with them, what it means to them, what they make of your suggestions. And that can be so insightful for your own practice, but really for all of your work and everything that you offer in your business. With the livelihood community, for example, which has been running for 4.5 years until this year, I got so much out of the questions that people brought into the space, because I love sharing around tech and systems, for example, and because I've been doing that work for a really long time and I often help my clients with it, I'm sometimes blind to maybe what you wouldn't know if you're not working in that field. And so, oh, I'm sorry, that is my dog coughing. He is all right though. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. So yeah, it really helped me kind of understand what people might want more support around, or what might I create and record for podcast episodes or other kinds of workshops. And I so appreciated that as part of the community that I facilitated. So as I mentioned, obviously there's also downsides, and they will be individual. Maybe they are not relevant to you, the ones that I'm mentioning here, but this is what I see. Firstly, there's a sense of kind of always being on, because if you have a community that is, you know, operating year round, then you're never completely off. And obviously there are lots of different really good ways to work with that. For example, if you're offering content every month or every season, then you can create that, you can batch it, and you can create some buffer for yourself so that if you're taking time off or you're sick, you know, you're not panicking or falling behind or letting people down even. But even so, I felt that especially when I had my new network spaces, that I would still on my weeks off check in there, because I felt like I just couldn't completely let go. And obviously, in a way, that is on me. I didn't need to do that. But I just noticed, like, even in, you know, going on a walk or traveling somewhere or cooking or something, I would just hold mentally some of those questions that I know were floating around in the community space. And in some ways, I think that I've really worked on my boundaries and made sure that I'm not taking on things that are not for me to take on. But it kind of permeates you, right? Like, because you get to know people over time and you're really invested in their success and their well-being, and you want to support them. So that is something to think about. And I think if you are going into a membership or a subscription phase of your business or an offering, then you need to think about what that means for you, this letting go and having a pause, and at the same time also showing up and being really committed to the process. Another downside I see is that you're probably going to have some sense of continuous promotion. So if you're finding marketing difficult, then it might be easier for you to have really short and kind of in-depth or more intense periods in the year where you're like really on, you're sharing on Instagram all the time, you're sending your newsletters, you're inviting people into something that's time sensitive. And then when the door closes to that, you're completely off and you can let go again. Obviously, there's a lot to be said for continuity in your content as well, and the way that you share about your work. Ideally, you don't want to kind of like have 2 weeks where you're sending 10 newsletters and then you suddenly drop the ball and people don't hear from you for month and month. That's, you know, not what I mean. But I think there is this sense when you have a membership that's always open that you have to find a way of always talking about it and always inviting people in. Otherwise, it wouldn't be sustainable. And so you have to find angles that feel fun and sustainable for you. And when I first had the Patreon, for example, and I had the monthly magic that I was offering, with every podcast episode I brought out, I just kind of mentioned what was coming up that month. And so if a topic in any given point in time would speak to people, there was an incentive for them to join. And then sometimes I had, I think twice a year, I had a thing where if you joined that month, I would send you like a one card tarot reading, for example, and that got people excited. So there's lots of creative ways, again, to work with that, but you have to be aware that marketing is going to be a more ever-present part of your business, I guess, if you have a subscription that is always open. The other thing, and that's probably the biggest drawback that I see in subscriptions, is that you have something that you might call, in air quotes, a critical mass, well, that you need in order to make it sustainable. And this is also the aspect that I see the most people stumble on and maybe even, you know, make a U-turn on their initial decision. So let's say, for example, you're a herbalist and you want to open a Patreon where people can pledge $5 a month, and then each month they get this little PDF with some recipes, like a plant profile, maybe like a ritual they can do with that plant and so forth. And so you might find that it takes you 2 or 3 days to create that PDF, to make it really good and something that you're proud of. And that in the first few months, you only have 5 patrons who pledge $5 each, so you're making $25, and after fees it will be even less than that, but you have committed to spending 2 or 3 days making that PDF. So there's different ways of looking at that. It might be that you enjoy the process so much and you find it to be a worthwhile investment in your own development, and you're just so joyous about sharing that, and you're kind of thinking about it as like a way of volunteering your time. Maybe you have other income or other kinds of support and you're able to afford being able to do something that really technically is not even paying you a minimum wage, right? It is not wrong to do that, but I think that that has to be a really conscious decision, because I've seen so many people setting themselves up in that way and really underestimating how long it might take to get to more like 20, 30, or 50 patrons even, so that you can spend those 2 or 3 days making that PDF and feel really good about it and feel also that your effort is being reciprocated in like a respectful way, basically. And not that people are not respectful because they're not paying more, they just don't know that there's only five of them. Obviously, that's not their fault, right? But that can, I think, something like that can breed resentment. And resentment is something that's so difficult. I think it's really something that's not great for your creativity and not great for the other offerings and services that you might be offering in your business. So that's something I would really consider you think about. You know, do you have enough people for what you need to make in order to really justify the commitment that you're making? Another example would be live sessions. If you want to offer 2 live sessions each month and you know that you need to make at least $150, let's say, to justify the prep work, the Zoom account, the showing up, the admin of like reminding people, all that kind of stuff, then you need to break that down. Okay, like $150, that's the bare minimum I need to make. How many people need to pledge? Do I really have enough people in my community right now to trust that those people will show up in the first few months? The other way of thinking about this, of course, is also to see it as a more long-term project. So especially if you know you really found your life's work and you're committed to the same thing for, let's say, the next 5 to 10 years, and so you're willing in the first year of running your Patreon or your community to kind of trust that it's building and eventually it will pay you enough to be sustainable, then that is also a really good and conscious decision that you can make, and that is totally valid and beautiful if that works for you. And then the last thing I would say for downsides is that you kind of need to be creative to keep it feeling energized, if that makes sense. If you do something in the same way, in the same format for a long period of time, then it can become stale and you will need to think about, you know, what will keep it exciting for you as a facilitator or as a service provider to keep showing up for the same thing. All right, so here are the key considerations that I think are important. So the first question is kind of something that I've already touched on, and that is, what are you happy to talk about for at least a year or two? Because I think, you know, it's not really worth in most cases to start a membership for 6 months. You will usually need some lead up time to gain enough people to gather that momentum, to get a good sense of rhythm for yourself. And so, yeah, I think it's really helpful to feel committed to the topic or the subject or the thing that you're offering for at least a year or two. Secondly, again, I've already mentioned that, do you have enough people to support this in a way that's not going to make you feel resentful, and that means there is a good flow of reciprocity and support? The next question is, what format is right and easy for you? So some people like love live sessions. I know I really do. Some people love creating audio content. Again, that's me. I find videos harder sometimes. I also love writing, but I just am aware that free writing is one thing that I love to do, but really kind of bringing it into a more polished form is something that I sometimes feel avoidant about, and so just need to budget more time for that. But yeah, whenever I offer something that is a more long-term commitment, I'm really, really mindful of the way I use technology, the way different means of production, let's say, you know, require different kinds of headspace or energy levels from me. And so I think that is another aspect that's really important to make it sustainable. Then how will you promote this? So bearing in mind that if you have a subscription or a membership that's always going to be available, what is going to be your angle to keep kind of bringing it to people's attention in a way that still feels fun and joyous and generous and honest to you? This will probably be another episode, so I'm not going to go super deep into that, but I'm going to leave you with this question here to think about. And then finally, what software do you want to use for the delivery? So that is important both in terms of how it feels and how it's going to allow people to engage with what you're offering, but it's also a financial consideration because obviously different platforms have different kinds of costs. One thing that you could do is to have a Patreon account. Patreon takes a cut of the monthly pledges that people make, and you can then post the content or the Zoom invitation on your Patreon feed. So that's a fairly simple way of doing it. There are alternatives to Patreon that also offer subscriptions. One example would be Ko-fi, for example. You could also offer a subscription straight through your PayPal account and then email something to everyone who's making that pledge through your PayPal account. That's probably a little bit less elegant, I guess, because you need to maintain a list of subscribers and then email people manually, and that offers kind of questions to how people access that content, because I think if you just deliver something in an email, it's more likely to get lost for people. Whereas if they have like a Patreon feed, for example, or a space that they can log into, you have everything in one place, and that's a little bit easier. You could also have a Mighty Network. That's something that I facilitated for a long time. There is a free plan that you can check out if you want to give that a try. And then again, you can charge subscription through the network in there. And that can be a space for people to gather and meet each other and talk, but also to have their own account and make their payments monthly there. There are lots of other options that are more course-based. I'm thinking about Podia, for example, which I'm using for my online courses. Podia is really great. I'd also, on a certain plan, which is a bit more expensive, offers a subscription, and it has that nice function where people can log into one place and then access all the material. I would always recommend, before you commit to any software, that you make use of a free trial and that you really budget the software costs into your business plan overall. So again, thinking about the minimum you want to make for what you're offering, and just factoring the pricing, you know, for the software in there as well. All right, and then finally, I want to talk about kind of my key learnings from many, many years of facilitating communities and having subscription-based offerings. So firstly, I think my main thing really was like this sense of sharing joy, being able to identify topics that I feel so passionate about, and then having the framework and container to go really deep with them, to kind of articulate my own thoughts to an extent that I felt comfortable sharing them, is honestly such a gift. Like, that is true for the livelihood community. I've absolutely loved talking to people for over 4 years about what it means to build a small business, about all the big and small questions that come up. Just the sense of being together in that process, I think, is so beautiful. And I'm really excited to bring that back next year in some way, shape, or form that I'm not 100% sure of yet, but I'm excited for. And then I think, yeah, it's also definitely, like I said, the financial aspect has been really helpful. Just knowing that there's always this little bit of income that I can trust, and then being able to let other aspects of my work ebb and flow, it was really great. What I needed to learn was that I really need to give myself permission to rest and not take on too much responsibility. In the Patreon, for example, I closed the Patreon in May this year, and I had at the time about 55 patrons, I think. I was at 125 at some point a few years prior to that. And that was mostly because I was offering all my business courses through my Patreon account. So, you know, now you can just buy a course, but back then you would make a pledge of $11 or more, and then you would get access to my courses. My suite of courses has grown vastly since then, so it really wouldn't make sense in that way anymore. But at the time, that was a good way of doing it, and that meant that my Patreon was much bigger. But anyway, when I closed the Patreon this year, at least for the time being, I just felt such a strong sense that I needed a break from podcasting over on Creative Rituals, and I also needed to just rethink everything around that practice and how I wanted to share. I'd been offering Creative Space sessions for many years, especially through lockdown, and I really had the sense of responsibility. I think when I had the accident at the end of 2020, for example, we were so deep in lockdown at the time, and it just didn't seem like imaginable to me to take a break from Creative Space sessions and to keep accepting pledges. Bearing in mind that on average people were pledging $4 or $5 per month. So reasonably, I could actually maybe have said, you know, I need a break. I'm really sorry. I'm going to keep this going. And most people would have been super understanding and really generous. And you could argue it's not that much money And it, you know, it could still be okay to take a full break, but I just didn't feel good doing that. I kept podcasting and offering those sessions. And for the most part, that was totally fine. It was just that this year in May, I really was like, wow, whew, it's been a minute, you know, it's been like a rough 3 years. And I just need total quiet for a few months. I need to not be podcasting and not offer any kind of sessions in the evenings. And the evenings is also a thing because I live in Scotland and most people I work with are elsewhere in the world. So I just wanted my evenings back to myself. And closing the Patreon just felt much better than continuing to kind of let people pledge. Like I said, most people would have loved to do that. And I feel so grateful for that. But I think for my own sense of not feeling guilty and not feeling any responsibility, I just needed to really completely pause it. And so I think, yeah, one of my key learnings really is to think about responsibility and how we show up and what is sustainable and what is it going to look like to take a real break from this work. My other learning is that it's really important to not make the offering too confusing. I noticed, for example, that when I offered weekly creative space sessions in 2020, people found it extremely easy to remember every Sunday, 7 p.m. UK time, I can drop into that space if I feel like it, right? And so the sessions had a lot of energy, a lot of people. There were usually between 12 and 25 of us, and it was a ton of fun. And eventually I felt like that is actually a lot of sessions every week to offer something. And I made it fortnightly, and sometimes I also switched for a few months at a time the weekday. So maybe, you know, it might be like a Wednesday and then it might be a Sunday. And it just became much, much harder for people to remember that. And obviously, we can all put something into our calendar. You can just make the second Wednesday every month a repeat event. But I think psychologically, it was a little bit harder for people to just remember that space being there as a resource. And I found that I was answering my questions via email, I was sending out more reminders, and that was a bit of an extra work. And so, yeah, I'm just mindful of that and mindful of how overwhelmed we all are and how hard it can be to hold all these different pieces of information together, basically. So with anything that I'm doing moving forward, such as stitching together, I'm just trying to make it as simple as possible while also, you know, feeling good for me. But I'm just repeating the information, for example, of what days we're meeting each month several times, including the Zoom link, to make sure that people have, you know, really easy access to that information. And then finally, and I already mentioned this, like really being clear on your boundaries. And those boundaries, I think, are important in how you show up and how you take responsibility and hold space and give yourself time to rest and pause, but also to the finances. And so, you know, some people offer a discount on services for anyone who's part of a subscription, for example. Is that something you want to do? How available are you for questions? So let's say you're a herbalist who works with people one-on-one, but you also have this subscription model. Can people ask you individual questions on the content that you're sharing each month, or would you refer them to book a one-on-one session with you, as an example? I think these are really important questions, because if you think about them and you really address them in a way that feels right for you before you articulate your offering, it's going to be much easier to navigate those things as and when they come up, so they're not surprises so much. And then, like I said, it's also about money and what you're spending on the offering and how much time you're investing in it every month. Like, does that really, you know, pan out for you in a way that feels good and nourishing for your business in the long term? So I've shared a lot of questions here. I really hope this has been helpful. I hope that you have been benefiting a little bit from my own experience. If you love this episode, please share it with a friend. That would mean so much. Or you can leave a review. And if you like, please check Stitching Together for 2024 out through the link in my profile, or join my Substack. Those are all my ideas. Thank you so much for listening.